Hello, hello, everyone. Dana Williamson here with Bad, Blessed and Anointed Destiny LLC, the original Bad Queen of the Round Table. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, Visions and Dreams. I recently posted something on my social media page, on my personal page, that basically said, once saved is not always saved. Otherwise, every one of us would go to heaven. And this is true because When we read the word of God from Genesis through Jude, and I don't always say Genesis through Jude, not leaving out Revelation, but Revelation talks about the end time. And so that's a preparation for the end time. So when I say Genesis through Jude, I'm talking about the law, the origination of the law. I am talking about the completion of the law. I'm talking about grace dispensation. I'm talking about everything that is given to us, all the instructions, all of the things that was said in the Old Testament and how they were cultivated and, for lack of a better word, confirmed and affirmed in the New Testament. And even for a term that I can't find anything new or different for, even adjusted in the New Testament, that's what I'm talking about. So I made this post and I had one person that had a full text of, okay, I got questions. And a lot of people might have questions. So I'm doing this as a podcast and not just as a, just answering, because I think it's genuine that when you have questions, something like this, and I think others might have questions, that we give everybody an opportunity to say, giving everybody an opportunity to hear in context and to say. So something I don't do on this podcast, I'm going to do today. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to share your word, to share your insights that you give us, the instructions, the directions, everything, the commands, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity to do that here on this podcast. Lord, I ask that you use me to clarify your word on today. Bring your Holy Spirit into this room that I am in and allow the people that are listening to the podcast to hear what thus says the Holy Spirit, your word, Lord God, what your message is in pertaining to eternal life and where we're going. Lord, I ask you to move me out of the way, that people hear you and not me, that in explanation of your scripture, Lord God, it is from you and not of Dana. I thank you, Lord God, again for this opportunity, and I thank you for using me, and I thank you, Lord God, for coming into this place and helping others to see in explanation what this means and what your word is saying. In your son, Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start with the first scripture that was given in reflection of what was said. And that first scripture is actually the second scripture. But nonetheless, let's go to the first scripture, which is Hebrews 10:26. Chapter 10, verse 26. That says, and I am reading from, which one is this? The New Revised Standard Version. So please forgive me. You can read along in any version that you like, but I'm reading the New Revised Standard because that's the one I have in my office. So again, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we willfully persist in sin after having received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So, one thing I was always taught, if it's something you don't understand or it's two point blank period, let's go to the verses before and the verses after. So, let me go to verse 24 and I will read through 31. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For if we willfully persist in sin after having received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those who have spurned the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let me read to you the study portion of this verse, okay? These verses. 19 through 25, exhortation. Summarizing the benefit from Jesus' superiority, the author endorses three traditional virtues: faith, which is confidence, hope or faithful loyalty, and love, which considers the group's needs. Verses 26 through 31 is warning. Dire warning, and actually it's a, let's go with 26 and 27, which says that dire warning followed the exhortation. No remedy for sin remains, only judgment. Then verses 28 through 31, another comparison. If earthly justice according to Moses is fearsome, all the more is God's vengeance. Sin dishonors Jesus and pollutes his sacrifice. So when you're sharing scripture, and this is something, again, that was taught to me before I even, you know, got into being a ministry leader. When you're sharing scripture, you have to understand that it's not just that verse that ties you in. It is everything that comes before and everything that is after, because that is the storyline. That is the instructions. That is the, that is how you build on knowing where you are individually. The message has to hit the messenger first. So when I put that message out this morning on my social media about once saved, always saved is not correct, I knew that for myself. Let me tell you why. Before I got saved, I fornicated like you would not believe. Okay? Before I got saved, there was a lot of things that I did. Drank, smoked. Oh, well, I didn't smoke, but I drank. I, again, fornicated. I had children out of wedlock. All of my children were out of wedlock. Although if I had known something differently, as far as someone had to teach me that, you know, it's better to marry and then have children. If someone had taught me that, then I definitely would have done that. I would have had taught me that in a way that wasn't so detrimental to my entire life. I probably would have gotten closer to that, but I don't. I will not. If I had to do this all over again, I probably would have made the same mistakes. But blessings came out of that. That's just a sidebar. Nonetheless, all of the things that I did prior to when I was saved in the fall of 1995, two years later, or actually in the spring of 1996, I still fell hard. Why? I didn't have anyone to teach me how to live a holy life. They just assumed that the Holy Spirit would come in and teach me. I wasn't in a place to be taught. So hear me out. When you first get saved, you need someone to cultivate you, to teach you, to tell you how to read and understand the Word of God so that you can live right. I did my best for months. I stopped drinking. I actually did stop fornicating. I tried to teach and help others in the way that I was learning, because I did have someone when I was in college. I had someone to just talk with me, and I did go and I visited churches and whatnot, but I didn't have anyone to tell me how to live completely right, because come March of 1996, I had fallen off. Come March, I have fallen off. And then in the following year, March, I became pregnant, and I had my last child in November He just turned 25 in November of 1997. I wouldn't change a thing. That's what I want to say. I wouldn't change a thing. I'm sorry. I made mistakes, but my babies came out of that. My children came out of the mistakes I made. Nonetheless, looking at this scripture, looking at what was said here, and I'm not going to take too much time to break this down. I might have to do this in two parts. But looking at this scripture and this verse with Hebrews, again, that's chapter 10, verse 26, you have to understand what the word of God is saying is that you don't get to keep playing. Can I be real? Can I be real with y'all? You don't get to keep playing with God. When you have sinned, and I played with God, so I had to redirect my life. And that took a while. That took some years after that. But nonetheless, I had to redirect my life. I got married. I tried to be the saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost wife. I honored my vows, although I was mean to my husband, you know, just as much as he was mean to me. I honored my vows. And then after, you know, when I really got to know God and see where he was taking me and how he was cultivating me for the life that he had, that he knew the future of, but I didn't. When I really got to know God and I got a real relationship with him, and then I ended up divorced, and I said, you know what, I'm staying on this path with God, and everything that he showed me prophetically and who I was prophetically, I'm staying on this road with God. I had to rededicate my life. I trusted God with my son's health. Yeah. When you look at this scripture, Paul is the author of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And we know that Paul had issues before he got to be Paul. He was Saul, right? But once he got to be Paul, he didn't have an opportunity to go and sin again. He got his life on track. God used him getting his life on track. Okay? God used him to minister to the people. God used him. So when you look at chapter 10, I went back through to verse 24 through 31. You don't get to play games with God's blessing on your life. I made a mistake back in 1995, 1997, actually through to about 2004. I made a mistake. I tried to tell God, I told God, when I first got saved, can I tell you guys something? I told God that I'm not going to stop having sex. I enjoy that too much. I'm not going to do that. But I'll do everything else you want me to do. Those were not the conversations that you had with God. That's when his word tells you, and I knew it. Believe me, and I was in church. I went to church at that time in my teenage years. I was at church every Sunday. I may not have gone to Bible study, but I was at church every Sunday. And then in my adult years, I was at church periodically when I got to be, you know, in my early 20s. But when I got saved, I was 24 years old. I got saved. And I remember my aunt was there, my cousin, and we had gone for revival because we needed it, you know, and it was such a blessing for all of us. After that time, we had such a different piece of insight on things, but I had that one conversation with God, that one conversation that said, okay, I'm not giving up sex. I like it too much. I'm just not going to do that. I'm sorry. I'll stick with one person, but I'm not going to give up sex. I'm not. And those aren't the kind of conversations that you have with God. They just weren't. And here I was trying to justify, even though I praise God for every 5 cents that showed up in my pocket, or every blessing. I wore skirts down to my ankles. You know, I changed. I was reading the Bible more often. I just didn't stop having sex. If Hebrews didn't tell me anything then, it's telling me to share with you now. You don't play those kind of games with God. So let's move on to the next verse that was asked for clarity. And that is Philippians 1 and 6. And I'm going to read the verse before. I'm going to read the verse and then I'm going to read everything before that. Philippians 1 and 6 says, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go back. And I'm going to start with verse 1 and read all the way through to verse 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you sharing God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with the knowledge, and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Now, I need to go back to Hebrews really quickly, because there's two things here that I need y'all to see that I don't think you saw. That I don't think was seen at the time. And it talks about the grace. And give me a second. I'm just looking through this scripture, and I know I saw grace there, but forgive me. So in looking at Philippians 1 through 6, chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, the one thing that sticks out to me clearly is grace. We are in the grace dispensation. The grace dispensation will take us through to the end, to the rapture, apocalypse, as some say it, when Jesus comes back. Okay. Now, when you look at the one verse, I'm confident of this, that the one who begun a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. This, again, does not subject you to once saved, always saved. Why? You have to go through the verses before that and after that in order to get the clear explanation. This is why the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. Because when you read everything before that, it talks about a person living a fully holy and unadulterated sinful life. Someone who is not living in sin. Someone who is not deliberately sinning is what I want to say. Someone who is living the word of God without compromise. Unapologetically Christian. Now, can I say that that's me? I can't say that that's me, and I'm being honest. And the reason why I'm saying that, even as a ministry leader, is because I have looked at myself in the past couple of years, excuse me, and I have had to say, Lord, if I am wrong in any way, if I am doing things in any way, if I am wrong in any way against your word, doing anything that you said not to do, going against the directions that you have given me, Lord, forgive me. I repent right now. Help me to get right. I've had people say, you know, because I don't attend all church services. I'm not in church on Sunday. Why am I not in church on Sunday? Unless the Lord tells me to be there, I'm not there. Why? Because the way my ministry is set up, the way God is setting this up for me, and everything is molded and cultivated every day, is that I am supposed to correct in what he tells me to correct and help to build up in what he tells me to build up. And I have to be available to leave places, move around the way the Lord tells me to move around. Do I assemble together with others two or more? Yes, I do. Do I pray, praise, worship, fast, read? Yes, I do. Am I saying other people are wrong? No, I'm not. I'm saying they are wrong in their approach to other people, but am I saying that they're wrong? No, I'm not. Why am I using that as an example when I say maybe this is not me? I'm wrong in saying that. Thank you, Lord. I'm wrong in saying that. It is me. I am living that life. I am directed. I am protected. I have a testimony upon a testimony upon a testimony for everything that God has given me to do, shared with me to do. I've done. Here's why I say what I say. Because, you know, I know people can't take me because I say things and they're offended because of how I said it. Not what I said, but how I said it. I've had a family member tell me that I'm disrespectful. I've had family members, not a family member, but family members say I'm disrespectful because of how I say things. And you know what? I can apologize for that. I'm sorry that I've said things this way, but guess what? Am I lying? Not trying to justify, because again, I'm not gonna negate my apology. If I've offended you because of how I've said something, I'm sorry. That's just real honesty. I am sorry. The other side of that is, can you tell me what I've said is wrong? And then I've had to say, you know, I've had people say to me, well, the word says that, you know, your words should be seasoned with salt. But here's the thing, and this is where the grace came from, so thank you, Holy Ghost. The Bible says that your words should be with grace, seasoned with salt. There's a balance there, because salt by itself doesn't taste good. But grace is basically when you're giving grace to somebody, you're humbly saying something to someone to help them to grow. Mind you, they may only hear the salted end, which may offend them, but the grace is the truth that is being shared with them. I hope y'all caught that. So looking at Philippians verses 1 through 11, with the key verse being, Philippians chapter 1 verses 1 through 11, with the key verse being verse 6, it still does not say that once saved, always saved. It is talking about a people who live a holy life, who are die to flesh daily, and who are repentant of their sins daily, who don't willingly sin, knowingly sin on purpose, and think that they are okay to get away with it because they got saved on June 10th, 1915. No, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. So then let us go through and read the last verse. I thought I was going to have to do this in two parts, and I'm glad that I'm not. But I thank God again for the opportunity to be able to share. And again, and you know what? It's fair. Let me say this while I look for this last scripture. It's fair because people who ask questions should, because other people have those same questions that they're asking. And it's funny that I'm doing this right now, that I'm recording this podcast right now, because I had to be reminded of a fast, right, this morning. I'm like, okay, Lord, okay, all right, we're doing this. We're doing this, okay? We're fasting, right? And I'm looking at the time like, okay, I have a little more time in this fast before I can, you know, decide to make me something to eat or whatever. And then I read this scripture, or I read this comment on this post, and the person had commented, you know, like a while ago. And I'm like, oh, okay, I missed it. So now I need to answer it, right? And I want to fully answer it, but I want to type it out. And I'm just like, you know what? No, because somebody else has these same questions. Let me do it as a podcast so I can help everybody. Thank you, Lord God, for using me to help everybody. So the last scripture verse is 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, because of that, we are going to go and we're going to read. We're going to start with verse 1 of this chapter, and we're going to read until the Holy Ghost says stop. The reason being is because you can't take this one verse without reading all the other verses. And I don't know where God is going to make me stop at. So let's just read and until the Holy Ghost says stop. Chapter 5 actually has 21 verses. We might read the whole chapter. Again, we're in 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. Hallelujah. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a mortal sin, you will ask and God will give life to such a one, to those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin that is mortal. I do not say that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not mortal. We know that those who are born of God do not sin, but the one who is born of God protects them, and the evil one does not touch them. We know that we are God's children, and that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So that was the whole chapter, chapter 5 of 1 John. Now you have to look at all of the points that were made from verses 1 through 21. Now, mind you, if you just read as far as verse 1 through chapter 13, the person that shared this verse with me would be right. Yes, this is eternal life. This is the scripture that says, you're right. You get to be saved forever. You got saved on January 10th, 2021. 2010, you going to heaven, whether you sin on the 11th or not. Whether and don't repent or not. Whether you hear me say this like this. If you get saved today and you sin a month from now, you need to repent of your sins to get back on track. Because if you willfully sin and don't repent, you've lost your place in line. How do you know that? Because of the verses after 13. Because even the verses 1 through 13 basically are talking about a person who is living a holy and fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. Not a person who's walking with the enemy. Because when you live with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and you know and believe that Jesus came on this earth in blood and in spirit, you're not going to willfully, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. You're not going to willfully sin. You're not going to willfully just like I did back in 1995, fornicate because it's fun. Because the verses after 13 basically reiterate what the other scripture verses we've shared from Hebrews over to Philippians and now in John, 1 John. You have to be living a holy and upright life. Otherwise, you repent of your sins. Otherwise, you get on track. Otherwise, you recognize the fact that you're wrong. Otherwise, and hear me, I mean, no disrespect to anyone who has questions. I mean, no disrespect to anyone who has a need to get an understanding. And this is exactly what the comment the person said. Hey, I got questions because these are the verses that were given to me saying I'm good. But here's the thing, and I know this woman of God. I know I've seen her live her life. And this is just on social media, okay? Live her life through the utmost. And upright as far as a child of God who knows that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that we must die to flesh daily. I know that. What she does outside of social media, that part I don't know. So I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit. So this is why I can say what I say with all heart of hearts. This woman of God, this child of God came with questions. This ministry leader and future, everything that God has given her, I'm not even going to give that out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But everything that God has given her and shown her that she's going to do came with some questions. Because even we as ministry leaders are still students. So she came with questions. And we have answers. Because we cannot use just the simplified version. We have to study to show ourselves approved. So we have to read and know the expanded version, which is all of the scriptures that go in and around all of these verses. So chapter 5 is not just verse 13 alone. Chapter 5 is here we are as men and women of God because we believe that Jesus came in the flesh and die for our sins in the flesh. And because of such, we believe in the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of us and helps direct us and to live right and to live upright and to walk upright and to do the things consistent with the word of God from Genesis through Jude. With the directions in Revelation for end time. So her question was, where's the scripture that says that you no longer have eternal life? Well, all of these say so. All of these scriptures that were shared, the verses before and the verses after basically say so. You don't get to sin and have eternal life in heaven. your eternal life will be in hell. So I can say this. Maybe the way it's presented, how we say it to each other, needs to be clear. So let me be clear. Rewording it. We say once saved, always saved is not true. That's what we've been saying. But here's the thing. When you believe in God, you accept the Holy Spirit, you accept the Lord and Savior as your Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life, right? But as soon as you do something to negate that, if you don't own up to the fact and repent of such, your eternal life in heaven starts to diminish. You want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, God makes that decision for us, right? God makes that decision for us. Do you think that any sin is just a minor sin or that all sin is sin? Let's go back to John, where he says in 16, chapter 5, again, 1 John chapter 5, let's look at verse 16. If you see your brother or sister committing what is not a mortal sin, you will ask, and God will give life to such a one, to those whose sin is not mortal. There is sin that is mortal. I do not say that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not mortal. Let's go to the study part of this verse. Mortal sin leading to death or unforgivable. There is a mortal sin that leads to death and is unforgivable. And he says, in that same verse, in 16, I do not say that you should pray about that. Why? 17, all wrongdoing is sin. But there is sin that is not mortal. Mortal sin is death. So we're going to go to, they said, compare this to Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Let me run over to there, over to that chapter real quick. Mark chapter 3, verse 29. That says, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Let's go to verse 28 and read through 30. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they have said he has an unclean spirit. This too, thank you, Holy Ghost. These three verses in the chapter of Mark also explain why once saved, always saved is not true. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins. This is not saying just because Jesus died on the cross that your sins are forgiven each and every time. This is saying truly people will be forgiven of their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. Because why? They go to God and ask for forgiveness because they go to God and repent of their sins. Repentance is spoken about in the chapters, in the books thereafter. And then it says, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. For they had said he has an unclean spirit. Do we need to go to the study Bible for that? Let me tell you something. Study Bible don't even say much. Doesn't say anything at all. Why? Because these verses basically speak for themselves. This again says that we are the ones. If we're living right, we repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness, we can get forgiven. But being forgiven of our sins does not negate the fact that we may not have eternal life in heaven. You don't get to do people wrong and think you're going to heaven for that. I don't get to do people wrong and think I'm going to heaven for that. But I don't know until I get there, until I'm dead and gone from this side. I don't get to sin. I don't get to fornicate. I don't get to lie. Revelation says there's a place in hell for liars. I don't get to do any of those things and think that my destiny, my eternal life, is in heaven. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, which means that if we recognize that and we live with that, and the Holy Spirit reminds us, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us reminds us of that, guess what that means? That if we sin, and we know we've sinned, we need to repent. And we need to ask for forgiveness, and we need to get right. We can't keep doing it over and over and over again. We can't. So every scripture tells us that once saved, always saved is wrong. Because you don't get to get saved today and decide tomorrow, well, I'm going to live without Jesus today. I'm going to live without the Holy Spirit today, but then the next day. You don't get to do that. Not back and forth. You don't get to play with God like that. We don't get to play with God like that. So I'm going to say this here. Lord, forgive me for any and all sins that I have done. From the last time that I've repented of my sins. The last time that I've asked for forgiveness. Anything I've done, seen and unseen, heard and unheard. Lord God, please forgive me. Because I want my eternal life to be in heaven. Lord, I ask you this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Please study, read, learn, apply, so that you can do the same with others. God bless.